brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuckers Bryant, Ms. Jackson, if you're nasty. And that makes this Stuff You Should Know, huh, Chuck?
It's a nice dated reference.
Dated from, like, last week.
That was that? Where's the beef?
No.
Oh, you mean in that email?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Are you psyched? You know what today is?
Yeah.
What?
Spill it.
Today's the last day of Hanukkah.
It is.
It's a big day.
It is.
In the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The lighting of the, we won't spoil it.
No, I don't.
But there's a lighting of something.
That's some nice foreshadowing, Chuck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Chuck and I, by request, are doing a How Hanukkah Works episode. I think last year we did How Christmas Works, right?
Yeah, and I think we promised to cover other holidays of other religions and peoples.
We were originally going to release this right before Christmas, like 2 days before Christmas, and we figured out pretty quick through our research, and by we I mean Chuck, that Hanukkah would have been over for about 3 or so weeks had we done that.
Yeah.
And that kind of reveals a certain mentality in the U.S.
Yeah.
among Christians, the Christian majority, that Hanukkah is Jewish Christmas.
Yeah.
But Chuck, have you ever heard of Hanukkah, Harry?
I think so. You always say this, and I always say no, and then I always go, oh, yeah.
I know. It's our thing.
Hanukkah, Harry.
Hanukkah, Harry is John Lovitz. It's a Saturday Night Live sketch. You remember?
Yeah, sure. I love
so
him.
Santa is vomiting. He has a horrible stomach bug, much like you get every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one of the elves is at his bedside, and he like throws up on the elf, right?
Right.
He's got it pretty bad. And Christmas is about to be ruined because it's Christmas Eve that he's fallen ill. So the only person who can save it is Hanukkah Harry.
Nice.
They call Hanukkah Harry, who is John Lovitz, and he's got a nice beard. And he, instead of a sleigh with reindeer, he rides a cart led by flying donkeys named Moshe, Hoyshel, and Shlomo.
On Hoyshel, on Shlomo.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It's good.
And Hanukkah Harry finally, you know, he makes the rounds, but rather than the really great presents that you know, Christian children expect at Christmas, they get socks, 8-pair, can you believe it? And slacks and that kind of thing.
Right.
And they're very disappointed.
Sensible
Fortunately,
gifts.
Santa recovers, comes down, and saves the day with really great presents, right?
That's funny.
That is Hanukkah in the United States.
That's right.
That's the conception of it, which is to say that I'm glad we did this because I really didn't understand Hanukkah.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because for our Jewish friends out there, and by the way, if I could choose to be a you know, Jewish, I probably would be.
You can, buddy. You convert.
Nah, but
Whoopi
that's...
Goldberg, Sammy Davis Jr.?
It's not the same.
Not born Jewish.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
Okay.
Because I studied it in college with my comparative religion class, and I remember at the time thinking, now this is a religion I can get into.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it. But for those of you, our Jewish friends that are worried that, you know, we're just a couple of goys, and you probably think we're Gornish Teft.
Why do you keep looking down at that piece of paper?
But I want to say, don't plots, honestly, because we are a couple of goys, but we are minches as well. So no need to worry. We will do right by you.
Is that what you were saying?
I just like Yiddish words.
Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, since I printed these out, did you know a shlemiel is a clumsy person, inept person, and a shlemazel is someone with constant bad luck? Does that sound familiar?
Shlemiel. Shlemazel.
Never knew.
That's awesome.
Until like 2 hours ago.
What is that? It's Laverne and Shirley, right?
Yeah. One's a shlemiel, one's a shlemazel.
That's awesome.
So,
my dad told me that before they showed that show in Iran, and he said Iran specifically, and he told me this in like 1983.
Your dad's awesome.
That they had to show a disclaimer that these women were, you know, in a psychiatric hospital and that these episodes were filmed before they'd been committed.
Really?
And I was like, wow, that's really, the Iranians really don't have a very good sense of humor. Now I understand that my dad's just insane.
Well, that sounds like an urban legend. Although, who knows? That might have been true.
Yeah.
What do we know? We're just a couple of goys.
So, Chuck, let's talk about Hanukkah. One of the things that I figured out from researching this is that it's not really a very important holiday as far as the Jewish religion goes. Jewish culture, sure.
Yeah. It's no Yom Kippur.
No, it's no Rosh Hashanah.
No.
Now, Hanukkah means dedication. It is basically it's the Festival of Lights.
Right.
And it commemorates the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem that fell and was recaptured by the Jews. Let's talk about Jerusalem circa 167 BC, Chuck.
Josh, Syrian king Antiochus IV, who was no slouch.
Well, he's our bad guy in this story.
He's the bad guy. He, at the time there was a lot of Jewish persecution, and he was one of the big dudes involved in that.
Well, he showed up in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and he said,
and was like, I
can't
run
practice
this place now.
Your religion like you want to.
You will be killed.
And here's some Greek idols, and you should worship them, and that's what you're going to do now.
Right. Some Jews went along with this. They're like, that's fine. This just makes us less cut off and isolated and makes us more worldly. So we'll do this.
I don't know about fine with it, but...
There was a fraction, apparently, in the Jewish community at the time, because some went along. It's very much like the American Revolution. There were some who sympathized with the king, who were loyal to the crown still,
sure.
And there were others who were like, well, we'll tar and feather you for that.
Yeah, interesting.
This Hanukkah is about the group that would have tarred and feathered the loyalists.
Yes.
Okay?
Specifically, that started with a family, just one family, the... Hasmoneans, led by Mattathiah.
Also known as Matthew.
And his five sons, who must have been some pretty bad dudes because they took a stand and sort of won, like right off the bat.
Right. Well, there was apparently an incident where Matthew was told to go ahead and start praying to Zeus.
Yeah.
There's a statue right there. It's a nice marble statue. Go ahead. And he said, no, and not only that, I'm going to attack you, Greek soldiers. And he did. And that started the Jewish rebellion of 167 BC.
In a good way.
They
were pretty successful early on, right? The family?
The Hasmoneans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think this guy and his five sons who led the rebellion became... Yeah, I think they were successful. But the most successful among them was Judah, who by this time they had changed their names to Maccabee, which means...
Strong as hammers, men who are as strong as hammers.
Right.
That's what I would pick
so
if I was convening an army.
His son changed his name to Judah the Hammer, and he was the head of the Jewish rebellion. So the whole thing kicks off in 167 BC. By 165 BC, apparently they had been successful enough because over the 2 years, remember we're talking BC, so it goes backwards, it counts down to zero. You remember?
I do remember.
They had recaptured the temple in Jerusalem, right?
Yep, on the 25th of the Hebrew month, Kislev, which is Kislev 25.
Yeah.
And that's...
They chased the crazy bald heads out of town.
It's a very important date, because that's the start of Hanukkah now.
Yeah, Kislev 25. I think the 25th of Kislev.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the 25th day of that of that month of the Hebrew calendar.
Yeah, I think we can think of even one more way to say that.
Let's hear it.
The day after the 24th of Kislev.
Right.
And before the 26th.
Kislev 25.
Yes.
So, Chuck, what did they do on the 25th of Kislev?
Well, they took the temple back and they said, you know what, we need to rededicate the temple because it's dirty from all these Greek-worshipping pagans. Well, probably not pagans. Peoples. And so let's rededicate it and let's light a lamp with the oil. But holy cow, we don't have enough oil.
We only have enough for one night.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Well,
lo and behold, you've heard of Christmas miracles.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first Hanukkah miracle.
Yes, it was.
Because that one night of oil lasted for 8 nights.
It did. And that is indeed a miracle. It gave the Jewish rebellion chance to make more oil so they didn't actually ever run out. Right?
Yeah.
So, that's what this is. This is the commemoration of that miracle of the rededication of the temple. And it lasts 8 nights. The 8 nights of Hanukkah, 8 crazy nights.
Yeah, so it's not Jewish Christmas.
No,
and,
but it has become that. And we'll
Cinco de Mayo isn't Mexican 4th of July. I love that the American purview is through everything.
You know, recall you referring to Canada as America's hat recently on our Facebook page.
The only reason I did that is because a Canadian introduced me to that term, and I really found it very funny.
It is funny.
I guess what would that make Mexico? Our shirt?
I would say it's our foot or shoe. are...
Well, if the hat is Canada, that would make Mexico our neck, so...
No, that's not necessarily true.
All right.
So, Chuck, as you said, it's not Jewish Christmas. It's the Festival of Lights. It commemorates Jewish culture,
mm-hmm.
right? And let's talk about the practical applications of this. How do you celebrate Hanukkah or Chanukah?
Well, as most people know, Josh, even a couple of goys like us know that there is a menorah. It holds 9 candles, 8 that represent the 8 nights. And then there's the shamash, which is the candle you use to light the other candles.
You would make a good converted Jew, man. You got the pronunciation down, the enthusiasm, everything.
I'm trying. So what you do is you insert, it's very specific, you insert the candles from right to left, right. One for each day, for each miracle.
You insert them from right to left, right, but you light them from left to right.
Yeah.
So the leftmost candle represents the most recent day that the oil kept burning.
Yes.
And by lighting the leftmost candle first, they're saying, we're very pleased with this most recent day of miracle.
Yeah. Perfect. They need to burn for, you need to light them after it gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
They need to burn for at least a half hour after it gets dark.
Okay.
Which presents a problem on Shabbat. Because lighting a candle is work. And you're not allowed to work after the sun goes down on Shabbat.
What do they do?
Shabbat, they light it before the sun goes down. But it still has to burn 30 minutes after, so they got to time it out just right. They
is blowing make sure out candle... a candle work?
Yeah, I think anything.
But not necessarily, because you're going to exhale anyway, right? You weren't going to light a candle anyway.
So you're just exhaling near the candle?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Well, they do blow them out, so yeah.
Well,
I guess
go.
It's not work. Yeah, a heavy sigh.
Yeah.
And then there are... some blessings, and on the first night, you recite all 3 of these blessings.
You're going to try your hand at this?
And on each subsequent night, you only do the first 2.
Uh-huh.
There's a blessing for the candles, for the Hanukkah, and for the Shehech Yanu.
So, Chuck, since you are so good at Hebrew and or Yiddish pronunciation, I think you should try these, and then I will translate after you've made it through each one. So go ahead, please. This is the blessing for the candles, as presented by... Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
Butcher this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kidasha nu b'mitzvotav v'sivanu led had lichner shel Chanukah.
Very nice. Beautiful. What Chuck just said, to those of you who didn't get it, is blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to light the candles of Hanukkah.
All right, why don't you do this one and I'll read the English
You're
version.
Doing so well at it. Let's do it again. This is the blessing for Hanukkah. So you say the first one, then you say the second one on each night. And then on the first night, you say this third one that you're going to do as well. So do the second one, Chuck, the blessing for Hanukkah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Shiasa nisim lavotai nu ba yamim cha chaim baze man chaze.
Very nice, Chuck. Blessed are you, Lord. Sorry.
You're having trouble with the English version?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who performed miracles for our ancestors in those days at this time. Pretty straightforward stuff.
Yeah.
And then the last one. This is said the first night only. It's the Shehech Yanu.
Yeah.
Shehech Yanu.
And yeah.
Okay. And this is the first night blessing. So go ahead, Chuck.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehech shehnu vikiyamanu vechegi anu lazman chazeh.
Okay. So Chuck just finished the full blessings. All 3 of those of what he just said. Would be said on the first night, and then the first 2 would be said on each night after that. And what he just said is, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this season. And that's Hanukkah. Every night you light a candle.
Yep.
You say the blessing, and you spin the dreidel, don't you?
Yeah, you also sing songs, traditional songs. You recite psalms.
You want to talk about the dreidel?
And then there are games like the dreidel.
So the dreidel is that top that you've always seen. And dreidel actually is German for to spin, right?
Is it?
I believe so. On each side is a Jewish character. There are four characters, Nun, Gimel, He, and Shin, right? And they're actually the abbreviations for a phrase, Nes Gadol Hayashem, or a great miracle took place here.
Yeah.
Right? They're also German Yiddish for Nicht, Gut, Halb, and Schlecht, which is no, good, half, and bad, and they refer to the possible outcomes for playing the dreidel.
Yes.
You spin the dreidel, and you get good, you win all. Everything's in the pot.
What do you mean by everything?
Well, Geld is usually what's in the pot.
The reason they spin, you know, there's some history here. The dreidel was what they used to fool people into thinking they weren't practicing their religion.
Right.
So they're sitting around reading the Torah. Some dudes come up and like, what are you doing? They're like, we're just spinning the dreidel, dude.
And then the Greek soldier was like, those Jewish people and their dreidels, they love those things.
They take their geld. They
that's
leave.
It. Yeah.
So that's the dreidel.
It is.
It's a gambling game.
It is.
Sort of.
For kids.
Well, you're not really gambling. Because gambling implies that you're putting money down for it to come up on a certain thing. And you're just, from what I know, you spin it, and depending on what it comes up as, you get money or nothing.
That's gambling.
No, it's not.
It's putting money on chance is gambling.
No. But what they're not saying, I'm putting 20 on Gimel.
No, but you're still putting money on a possible outcome. It's gambling.
All right.
So we've got the Geld.
I bet you we're going to hear from people that say it is never gambling.
That's gambling.
Okay.
It is Geld. We've got Geld. We've got the dreidel.
Yeah.
And we can't forget the food, Chuck. Because oil factors in so heavily into the celebration, the Festival of Lights, the food is generally cooked in oil, and it's also generally delicious. Latkes,
yeah, sure.
Potato pancakes. Mm-hmm. It's basically shredded potatoes held together with eggs and milk and deep fried. This is like the greatest holiday ever.
I love latkes.
Deep fried food.
Yeah.
As part of the holiday is awesome.
Well, you know what they say, Josh.
What?
Besser ein Freund mit Gekeks als 100 Mickekeks. It's a better one friend with a dish of food than 100 with a sigh.
Yeah, true. Words have never been spoken. And Chuck, there's also, what are the jelly donuts called?
Sufganayat.
Those sound delicious as well. They're just fried jelly donuts.
Yeah.
Fried in oil.
Yeah.
And then with powdered sugar all over them.
Well, yeah, they say they fry a lot of this stuff in oil because oil was such a big deal for the miracle.
Right.
I think they do it because it just tastes better.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Nutritious. Well, there you have it.
There we have it.
There's
else, Hanukkah. Yeah.
It's a lot more simple than I thought.
Very simple.
Not to say that's a bad thing. Christmas is pretty simple, too.
There's jelly donuts.
And latkes. I'll take it. So what's next year? Kwanzaa?
I was thinking Kwanzaa.
What else is there?
Ramadan? It's not Christmas, but it's pretty holy holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll
cover all the holidays. They don't have to be December, of December type
of
things.
I think that's a good idea. Well, then for next year, we'll do, I don't know, maybe we'll do Sinterklaas. Did we talk about, we talked about him a lot in the Christmas one, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We have a year.
We're planning this thing out like years in advance now. That's dangerous.
Well, until next year, we hope that you keep listening. We hope that you have had a fantastic Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
To our Jewish friends and listeners, for our Christian friends and listeners, and our Jewish friends and listeners who practice Christmas,
mm-hmm.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And if you want to learn more about Hanukkah, you can type that word in. We spell it on How Stuff Works as H-A-N-U-K-K-A-H. Type that into the handy search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. And that means now it's time for listener mail.
Josh, I'm going to call this one Medieval Times email. I got permission to read this, too. This is from Gerald in Boston, although I believe he said he was from Texas. Gerald says this. Interestingly, guys, my first job after college was the Master of Ceremonies, also known as the King's Chancellor at Medieval Times. That was the role Andy Dick played in The Cable Guy.
Okay.
He was the Master of Ceremonies.
Yeah.
I rode a very large Andalusian horse, wore a velvet and sequin cape, and introduced all the knights, and narrated much of the action of the show. Supposedly, our show was set in Spain in the 11th century. One of the more embarrassing aspects of the job was the occasional educational matinee that we'd put on for large groups of students. The show was not researched at all and was written by someone who didn't have a background in the entertainment industry, let alone any knowledge of history whatsoever. This is like a restaurant employee writing this, basically. Among the ridiculous facts, quote-unquote, we were required to present was that the knight's sword weighed 50 pounds, their armor weighed 300 pounds. Despite such misinformation, we couldn't do much about our show being written by someone who just made things up. The perils of a working stiff. Anyway, you might want to mention not to pay too much attention to the information presented by a caped man on horseback in what is basically a rodeo arena with a medieval decor scheme and fancy lights. It was interesting work, although it was one of the worst jobs I've ever had in terms of hours, pay, and lack of benefits. Oh, how knighthood has fallen. Killer show dudes, Gerald.
Thanks, Gerald. I hear the chicken's good.
I don't know. I've never been there.
I haven't either.
We should totally go sometime just for laughs.
Okay.
And history.
Okay. And, yeah, 50-pound swords and 300-pound yeah, suits of armor.
Exactly.
Thanks, Gerald. How about your worst job? Let's hear about that. Yeah?
I've had good jobs. I can't talk about my worst job on air.
Well, that means that we need to hear from all of you listeners to fill in for Chuck. Fill in the blanks. See if you can guess what Chuck's worst job was. He'll probably never actually say, but let's see what you got. Wrap it up, send it in an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?